Today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 13. I need to do just a little bit of explanation about the text. Look, this Sunday, you're probably going to want to look up at the screen as I read this text, because I'm doing it from a little different Bible translation than I normally do. Normally, I use the New King James Version. There's a lot of reasons why I like that translation. I won't get into that now. But this particular morning, I liked how it was phrased, the text from the New Living Translation. Now, I don't do that to discourage you. Normally, I don't put the text of the whole scripture that we go through up on the screen, because I want you to bring your Bibles. There's something reassuring to the heart of a pastor when he sees people with their Bibles, even if it's electronic. I don't know. Sometimes a pastor feels that he wants people to be following through with what he says from the Bible. So if I start talking about Goldilocks and the three bears, you know it's not in the text. You know, and so we have an idea, it's what's in the text and what's not. But again, for this particular morning, we're going to put the text up on the screen because I'm doing a little bit different translation. But here we are in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 13. Did I tell you what the title was for this morning's message? Clear Thinking About Legal Marijuana, 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a one-off before we do Daniel. I can do this. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything that you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 in the New Living Translation. Now, I don't know if you know, if you follow news events at all in this regard, but the use of marijuana is now legal in the state of California. This means something for us very practically, I'll say for myself as a pastor, is no longer can I tell people who come to me and ask, is it okay for me to smoke marijuana? Now, maybe I just need to pause right now. I'm going to say often through this message, smoke marijuana. What I mean is ingesting it in any form. There's edible forms that you can take it. There's always whatever. I don't want somebody saying, well, Pastor, you said I couldn't smoke, but you didn't say I couldn't eat that brownie. So I'm just using that as shorthand for ingesting marijuana. Are we good on that point? So now if somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, is it okay for me to smoke marijuana? I can't reply any longer and just say, it's against the law, don't do it. I mean, that used to be a pretty easy answer. But you can't give that answer anymore because in the state of California, it's completely legal. And so now we have to ask questions, sort of as a Christian community, as a church. We have to ask the question, is it good for a Christian to smoke marijuana or to take it some other way? And is it permitted for a Christian to smoke marijuana or take it some other way? Let me give you a little bit of overview, just kind of in the news and culturally. On some level, medical marijuana has been legal in California for 20 years. 1996 was the first year that medical marijuana laws were passed in the state of California. And so it's had a long time in our culture being legal on some level, at least in our state. Now, according to Gallup polling from the year 2016, 43% of American adults say that they've tried marijuana. Not that they're regular users, but at some time in their life, they've tried. 43%. I look at that figure, and sometimes I think that's high. Sometimes I'm surprised it's not higher. I mean, because 43% say at any time in their life that they've tried marijuana. But to get kind of sort of meaningful statistics, in the year 2013, 7% of American adults said that they were current users of marijuana. In 2016, just 3 years later, 13% said that they were current users. In other words, even though the proportion of people in the culture who have tried marijuana isn't really going up in any remarkable rate, those people who are current users has all regard those statistics as not so good, that there's a doubling of use of current users in the last 3 years. But let me give you some good news. Listen, I think that sometimes we preachers, we sometimes try to play a little scare game with congregations. You know, we want to tell you how bad things are, and we want you to be scared about how it is in the world out there. And what we do sometimes is we withhold good news from the culture at you. Well, I want to give you a little bit of good news, and it's just simply this, that according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, marijuana use has declined among 8th and 10th graders and remains unchanged among 12th graders compared to 5 years ago. That's despite more and more states making marijuana legal. Past year use of marijuana is at its lowest level in more than two decades among 8th and 10th graders. I think that's fantastic. It seems statistically saying that fewer young people, or at least high school age and younger, are trying marijuana and currently using it. And ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a good thing. Gives you a little bit of hope for the future, doesn't it? That maybe our young people are more sensible than we have been. Just as a side issue, we also find, and again, this is according to the National Institute of Drug Abuse, that alcohol use and binge drinking continues to decline among all grades and among nearly all time period measures, and the percentage of high school students who reported ever using alcohol has dropped by as much as 60% compared to some of the peak years in the past. That's good news. Praise the Lord for that. I think that's a good thing for our culture, for our society. And by the way, just if you're interested, the use of traditional cigarettes has also continued to decline to its lowest levels among 8th, 10th, and 12th graders than they've seen in a long, long time. So still, with all of that, in the state of California and in the state of Colorado, the marijuana industry brings in well more than $1 billion a year in each state. And people are having more and more loose and free attitudes towards the use of marijuana. I found an example of this just a couple of days ago in the New York Times, an article titled this, "Pregnant women turn to marijuana, perhaps harming infants." And it showed how there's a remarkable rise of marijuana use among expectant mothers. Some of them say that they're using it to deal with morning sickness. Some of them say they're using it to deal with other sort of physical things during their pregnancy. But even though there's some pretty good evidence that it has an ill effect on their unborn children, those rates are rising rapidly. Again, it's something that we have to reckon with in our society. So we should come back to the picture and say, here we are, we're at a church, I'm a pastor. David, what does the Bible say about the use of marijuana? Well, let me tell you this. Marijuana is never specifically mentioned in the Bible. Nowhere. It's not in there. Despite what some people have said about Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. I remember guys in the 70s quoting this verse to me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. "And the earth brought forth grass and the herb which yields seed. And God said that it was good." And dude, it's the herb. God said it was good. No. Listen, I don't know what your specialty is, but my specialty is the Bible. I'm telling you, it's not talking about marijuana. It's an easy answer that there are many naturally growing poisons in this world. To take from that the idea that if it grows up in the ground, God wants you to put it in your body is crazy. Because there's lots of things that are completely natural and completely deadly in the world today. So we can't go down that particular road. We can't go down the road of some who have said, listen, the Bible is so approving of cannabis that I've heard people say that cannabis was in the holy anointing oil that God used and commanded to be made upon the priests of Israel and such. No, it's not there. These are grasping after straws. We can say that the Bible makes no specific mention of marijuana. But the Bible gives us many principles that we can draw from in our life. We don't have to say that the Bible has specifically say something about in our modern society before we can draw a principle from it. The Bible also does not specifically tell you how fast to drive on the streets, but it gives you principles, does it not? And so we can just take the principles from the scripture and apply them to our present day. So let's draw some principles from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Number one, this is from verse 13. Look at the phrase, so think clearly and exercise self-control. That's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Now, how might that connect to somebody using marijuana? God wants you to have clear thinking, not clouded thinking. Clear thinking, not clouded thinking. Part of the purpose, part of the use of marijuana as an intoxicant is to cloud the thinking of a person. It's not consistent with the way that God says he wants his people to live. Now, I need to add something right here, and I'm going to say it several times through the message because repetition is an important principle in us getting things down. So even though you're the brightest one in the room and you only need to hear it once, that person next to you, they need to hear it a few times. Let me explain it to you this way, that when I talk about the use of this and things that cloud your thinking and taking marijuana and such, I'm talking about I'm regarding as an exception the prescribed usage from a legitimate doctor. Note the word I use, legitimate doctor. I'm not talking about Dr. Quack out there or Dr. Feelgood, who's given you whatever for whatever purpose. But if a legitimate doctor prescribes a medicine and it has a side effect of clouding your thinking, which some medicines do. You've seen it on the prescription bottle. Do not operate heavy machinery under the influence of this. Then that's something different. No, you're under the medical care of a legitimate doctor. But to intentionally take something so that it would cloud your thinking, that goes against what God says here in 1 Peter chapter 1. God wants you to have clear thinking, not clouded thinking. And he also, look at it there in verse 13, he also wants you to exercise self-control. Do you know what self-control means? Self-control means that as a believer, there are going to be some things that you want to do that God tells you don't do them. It also means that as a believer, there's going to be some things that you don't want to do that God says, do it. And the principle of self-control means that I don't allow my own desires, my own lusts, my own flights of fancy determine what I should do. I'm not ruled by my feelings, but the Holy Spirit indwelling me, God helping me, I can live a life of self-control before the Lord and not be at the mercy of my lusts and desires. Now, notice what else he says here in verse 13. He says, look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? God wants you to have a focus on heavenly things, not merely earthly things. It also tells us this, that God's special blessings come to you in Jesus Christ. They don't come to you from marijuana. God's special blessings don't come to you through an altered state of consciousness. They come to you through what God gives you in Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 14. He says, obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we read a verse like this and we just simply say, let's act like children of God and not like the children of this world. We get it that people in the world have a certain way of conducting themselves. We get it that people in the world operate under a certain mentality and certain philosophy. Maybe the attitude or the philosophy of the world is, if it feels good, do it. fine, that's the world. We are children of God. We have a different sense of priority and certainly a different sense of purpose. So, don't you love what it says here in verse 14? Don't slip back into your old ways of doing things. Yeah, for some of you, drug use represents the old way of doing things. Why would you go back to that? Why would you head back? God has something better for you in Jesus Christ. Then I love the last phrase of verse 14, because you didn't know any better then. Man, what a liberating statement that is. We're not here to heap condemnation upon anybody. So you walked in here and you conducted your life a certain way. You're off embroiled in this sin or that sin or this wrong direction or that wrong direction. Brother, sister, there's no condemnation for you. You didn't know any better then. You know better now. I'm talking to you about it right now. Your pastor's speaking to you. And if I'm not your pastor, I'm a pastor. And a pastor is speaking to you about it. You see, it's just really that simple. The point of this isn't to make you feel bad. The point of it isn't to shake an angry finger in your face. Just to say, look, we're now children of God. We have a walk with Jesus Christ. There's some things that belong to the old life. There's other things belong to the new life. You didn't know any better then, but now you know. Let's walk forward with Jesus Christ. Now look at verses 15 and 16. He says, but now you must be holy in everything that you do. Just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be holy in everything we do. Certain times, certain generations, it seems like words from the Bible and of our Christian experience kind of fall out of favor. They become unfashionable. I wonder if there is not a more unfashionable word among Christians today, word I should say, than holy or holiness. We just don't think about it. It's just somewhere off, you know, of things that don't matter to my life. Sometimes I'll listen to Christian radio, you know, kind of the pop stations that play the current Christian music and whatever. There's some interesting stuff on there. I don't hear many songs about holiness. It just seems like that's not a concern. But listen, it should be a concern for us if we're children of God. And to be holy means to be separated from a world that's perishing around us and to be separated unto a God who loves us and who redeems us. So we belong to him. Did you notice our standard for holiness in verses 15 and 16? What does it say? Our pattern of holiness is God himself. Be holy in everything you do, just as God is. Please, I'm not making a joke about this, and I'm not trying to sound irreverent, but you can't imagine God in heaven hitting on a bong or a marijuana cigarette or something. That you just no, your mind recoils from that. That's offensive. It's bizarre. Be holy, just as God himself is holy. Now, the question to say is simply this: is your recreational drug use really compatible with a life of holiness? Just doesn't fit there, does it? And this is our call from the scriptures. Now, I could go to a lot of other passages. Part of my difficulty in preparing a message for today was kind of narrowing it down to talk about just one aspect of this. But I think what we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, if we were to apply those principles to the idea of the use of marijuana in our present condition here and to use it as an intoxicant, to use it recreationally, we would say, no, the scriptures say don't do that. But here's some things we can say, drawing in line 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, and other passages of the Bible. We can say a few things. We can say this, that drunkenness, that is intoxication or impairment, is mentioned in the Bible. Repeatedly, drunkenness is presented to us in the scriptures as a sin. Using marijuana as a way to get high, to detach from the surrounding world, it's against the principles of God's word. You should not do it. It's not consistent with a life that lives after the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this is very important because God doesn't want us to be drunk, intoxicated, or impaired. Now, I need to bring this up sort of as a side issue because we'll talk about this in relevance to alcohol. You know, some people really make a counter argument against somebody like me who would say, no, Christians should not use marijuana. They would say, but listen, marijuana is just the same as alcohol, isn't it? And the answer to that question is no. Now, even though both of them can be abused, that's absolutely true. Alcohol can be abused and marijuana is, of course, abused. But wine and beer, for example, are foods. They have calories, they have some kind of nutritional value, and they also have a purpose other than intoxication. The moderate use of alcohol is certainly allowed in the scriptures. Every once in a while, we got to talk about this, or I need to talk to you about it. Good heavens, this is wine country, Santa Barbara. There's microbreweries all over the funk zone and this and that. I have to stand before you as a pastor and just tell you straight on, I cannot, in the integrity of my heart, tell you that the Bible forbids the use of alcohol. The Bible allows it. It allows the moderate use of alcohol. Drunkenness is a sin. If I was one of those preachers that had the congregation always repeat stuff, I'd have you repeat that about five times. Drunkenness is a sin, that's clear. But the Bible does not condemn the moderate use of alcohol. And so I'm not going to condemn you for the moderate use of alcohol. Even though, if you want an example of someone who doesn't drink, well, let me be your example. I don't say that to be some kind of hero or something. Frankly, I just don't like it. So it's not a big sacrifice for me to give up alcohol. But listen, if you want an example of someone who doesn't drink, fine, I'll be that for you. But I can't stand before you as a pastor and say that the Bible condemns the moderate use of alcohol. But if you're going to drink, make sure that you're moderate. Matter of fact, as I've told you before, be excessive in your moderation. Make it evident to everybody that you're drinking moderately. And I don't know what that exactly might mean in your context. Maybe it means that if you're drinking a glass of wine, you leave a little bit in it and you don't even drain it. And then everybody said, well, not only are they not having three glasses of wine, they're not doing that, but they didn't even completely finish that's a moderate drinker. I don't know what it might mean in your particular context, but that what needs to be communicated through your drinking is this does not have mastery over me. I am a son or a daughter of God. Now, sometimes it gets awkward when people, you know, go out to dinner with the pastor and his wife and they feel so awkward about it. Oh, man. Sometimes I've seen it almost sweat pouring down their face. I wanted to order a glass of wine, but the pastor's here. Does the pastor want a glass of wine? Will the pastor think I'm a horrible Christian? Well, there's that. Listen, if it ever comes up, I don't care. Order your wine. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. It really doesn't. If you moderately drink alcohol in my presence, it doesn't bother me in the least. I know you have that Christian liberty as long as you're using it responsibly. Matter of fact, I'd rather you do it openly than abuse alcohol at home. Wouldn't that be much worse? So again, it doesn't have to be weird in your life, but the moderate use of alcohol is permitted in scriptures. But ladies and gentlemen, marijuana is different. Marijuana is given for the purpose of intoxication. Now, let me say this. They say that there's new strains of marijuana coming out that aren't intoxicating but have other benefits and stuff like that. And friends, it's a very new field. It's probably too new to even comment on. But the problem of marijuana that makes it problematic is the intoxication of it. And this is what makes the moderate use of marijuana a non-starter, I believe, for the Christian. Because the high is sought from the first puff or the first ingestion. So no, we can say that. We can also say this, that just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's right. Ladies and gentlemen, in some states in our country and in many nations in Europe, prostitution is absolutely legal. Doesn't make it right. And you can talk about all sorts of other things. It is legally permitted for you to go home and drink yourself drunk in the privacy of your own home. Doesn't make it right. So we can't say that the use of marijuana is okay for a believer just because the law allows it. And we can also say this, that there may be a legitimate medical use for marijuana, but that's between an individual and their real doctor. Again, I'm not talking about Dr. Quack or Dr. Feelgood. I'm talking about a real doctor. You see, there are lots of legitimate medicines that when someone takes them, it may make them loopy or impaired. But those must be carefully regulated and responsibly used. But if a legitimate doctor prescribes them, then use it under their care and direction. But you know what's not good? To self-prescribe and self-medicate. That's not good. And that goes for just about any medication that requires a prescription. But friends, brothers, sisters, if you're taking what your doctor tells you to take, then don't feel guilty about it. Now, I say this not only in regard to medical marijuana. I'll say it in regard to something that's a hot topic that we don't often want to touch here, but it's even in the use of antidepressants. If your doctor has prescribed these for you, and you believe they really do good, and you're under the doctor's care and doing it according to the doctor's instruction, don't feel guilty about it. Now, you say, but David, I don't want to be on them. Then seek the Lord and talk to your doctor. Maybe there's a way for you to get off them. But you say, but David, you know, I feel like my doctor prescribes them too quickly. Then get a second opinion. But what I'm saying is, if you're under a legitimate doctor's care and he prescribes something for you, don't feel guilty about taking it. But if you are misusing prescription medications, brother, sister, you need to get that right with God and you need to find rescue in Jesus Christ. Look, I just know the general statistics that this is a big problem in our culture. The misuse of prescription medications. And if that's you, you don't find any condemnation from me. The whole purpose of this isn't to condemn you or to slay you, to lash you with a whip of guilt. It's to point you to freedom in Jesus Christ. Every person in this room understands what it's like to deal with a habit. You know God wants you to get rid of it, but it's not easy to get rid of. Every person in this room knows what that's like. So maybe your habit's different than their habit, is different from my habit, but every person in this room knows what it's like that sometimes God's work of sanctification and dealing in our life and Christian growth comes face to face with some habit that we have that's difficult to let go of. You don't give up in your Christian life. You see what God is going to do in the midst of it, and the point of it is not guilt and condemnation, but it's freedom in Jesus Christ. I so want you to have that freedom. Now, let me finish with an imaginary discussion with a professed Christian who uses marijuana. I can just imagine, I'm sitting down talking with somebody, and they say, well, yeah, David, it's legal. I could go down the store and buy a beer. I can go to the dispensary and buy some pot. You know, what's a big deal? It's legal. I imagine somebody saying this, David, I do it and it brings me closer to God. I've heard that. Let me tell you something. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. In Christ, not in a drug. Jesus does not come to us through the use of drugs. He comes to us by faith. That is the universal testimony of the New Testament and much of the Old. The point of connection between you and God is not the use of a drug. It's not LSD. It's not peyote. It's not marijuana. The connection between you and God is not through a drug. It's through faith. And that faith is accessible to every person who will come to Jesus and put their trust in him. So no, dear friend, if you think it brings you closer to God, I really think you're seriously misguided and you need to put your focus on faith and on Jesus and not think that these drugs are a vehicle for you to get closer to God. I can imagine someone saying to me, David, I do it and I don't feel guilty at all. Well, again, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to try to drum up guilt within you, but I'll tell you this, you need to seek Jesus and draw close to him, and you need to do what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 tells you to do. You need to exercise self-control. Did you know that you can do what's right before God without feeling guilty beforehand? Some of you, you're waiting for guilt to drive you to do what's right. Why don't you let your understanding of God's word drive you to do what's right? Are you really waiting until you're overwhelmed and crippled by guilt before you do what's right before God? I'm showing you a pathway that avoids that crippling guilt. Take it. It's from his word. So I'm not asking. The point of this message isn't to make you feel guilty. So if you don't feel guilty, fine. Then just do what's right before God. I can imagine somebody talking, David, I do it, and I really wish that I could stop. What do you do? Well, I'd say here's the beginning point. Confess your sin and surrender it to Jesus. No, you really need to do it. You need to confess it. You need to speak to another human being and you say, this is the sin that I'm guilty of before God and man. I need Jesus Christ to set me free from it. You need to do it. Your sin has power because you're keeping it secret and in the dark. When you confess it openly before a person you can trust, you'll see that there's some measure of power that's immediately taken away from that sin. So you need to confess it and surrender it to Jesus, but then you need to determine to go forward in him. Depending on Jesus, you need to say, I'm not going to give up. Even if I should fail from time to time, even if I should fall from time to time, I'm not going to surrender to this sin. That even if I stumble from time to time, I'm still going to point my life in the right direction, and that's pursuing Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what else you need. You need a supportive community around you. On Thursday nights, we have a ministry called Real Life. And it's a very supportive community of people get together, and some of them have struggled with these kind of things. And this is a community that'll love you and care for you and support you. You need to get together with a group like that. Or maybe you need a program for some more intensive discipleship and the breaking of old habits and patterns and to establish some new habits and patterns. But whatever it is, you need to find it. And we as a church community, we can help you to do that, because I'll tell you, here's the truth. Jesus can and does bring new life. He does. So if you've been discouraged, you feel like, man, I tried to stop this before, I can't. There's power in Jesus. Let him keep working in your life. Don't despair. His power is real and it'll be true in your life. Well, I'm going to pray right now. And we're going to prepare our hearts to receive communion. And actually, you're going to see that what we talked about here this morning, it really fits in with coming to the Lord's table. But let's prepare our hearts right now to receive something from the Lord. Father in heaven, we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I simply pray, Lord, I pray for the person who had no idea that this could be a sin before you, and now here for the first time, they're seeing it and they're saying, God, what do I do about this? I pray that you'd show them. Lord, I pray for the person who knows it's wrong but hates that they do it. And I pray that, Jesus, you'd give them encouragement and strength to walk with you. Lord, more than anything, I pray that you would strengthen us in Jesus and so fill our lives with him by faith that there's very little room for these distractions of a present age. Fill our lives with you, Jesus, and do it with a lot of grace and compassion because we need that from you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.